update for April 30th, 2017. Last show of the month. I'm Fully Quoted Alpha.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Jenner Victoria.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm Lee Lamb.
And to say this was an eventful week would be kind of an understatement, but not necessarily in the ways you would think would be eventful.
Or necessarily hope would be eventful.
Yeah.
It's a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah, like some stuff shouldn't be news, but hey, let's talk about it.
Yeah, it turns out to be news because people are terrible. So, yeah, that's the general theme these days, is people are terrible, so yeah. Before we get into those, though, I think we should probably talk a little bit about what we've been playing this week and doing. So I guess I'll start us off. Not a whole heck of a lot for me. Diablo 3 is still incredibly enjoyable. Playing that on the Xbox One and still a lot of fun. I got a closed beta key for Marvel Heroes Omega on the PS4, and I've been playing that, and that's a lot of fun.
Yep.
Yeah.
They just need to do a better job with the console transition. Pay more attention to Diablo 3, because only having access to 4 abilities at a time.
Well, 8.
Instead of like a... Yeah, but you have to hold a L2 to bring it up instead of maybe doing like Diablo 3, which did it really well.
Yeah.
You know, back in my day, you had to hit start on a Genesis controller to switch to kicks with Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of like that. I mean, you hold the L2 button and you get another set of buttons. The same buttons, but...
That's terrible.
Modified, yeah. They technically only have 8 abilities that you can use at once.
Do they even use any of the other shoulder buttons besides... L2?
Not that I've seen.
It's just useless buttons, so they could have put this stuff back.
Not doing a whole heck of a lot. They could have used those for buttons or map them to healing or something, yeah. But I think the D-pad does that. So.
Inventory's still bad, like on the PC.
Yeah, inventory
is... I'd be able to mark stuff as junk and sell it easily.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... it's got some rough edges, but hey, it's still beta, so...
Yeah.
You know, it's going to improve. But the concept is pretty good. I like that, when you start off, as Captain America, then I think you're given Black Widow for a little bit, and then Hulk. And so you get a little bit of a taste of what some of the characters are. And after the tutorial, then you're given the ability to basically just buy your first hero. And, because right after the tutorial, you get enough Infinity Shards to, basically buy one character, so... And, it's a pretty good roster, I'd have to say.
Yep.
There's a lot of varied classes, some old school Marvel, some current gen Marvel, and it's all seems to be there.
Yep, cool. And it's you can try out everybody up to level 10.
Yeah,
so you don't have to buy anybody blind, except for that first guy, technically.
Yeah, technically.
Because it's like, you got to buy somebody now, but I've only played 3 characters.
Well, for me, the decision wasn't really hard. It was Hawkeye all the way.
Yeah, because you played it on PC, so you know about all the characters already.
Yeah.
So. All about that Hawkeye, bro.
Yep. It's like, I like, and the way the targeting works on the PS4 is you don't even have to aim. It's just, like, just fire and the arrow just kind of goes where the hell it wants and usually hits something, so... That's kind of fun. You don't even have to do a lock-on or anything. It just does it.
Yeah, with Cap, I forgot that there's a shield throw that isn't homing.
Yeah.
I was like, why isn't this bouncing off a wall? Do I have to upgrade it? It's like, nope, there comes the other one. Yeah. A few levels later, okay, now I can do what I want.
Yeah.
Speaking of Hawkeye, I would recommend if anyone is a comic fan that you check out Hawkeye's series that came out a couple of years ago. It is... probably the best thing Marvel's done in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, may have to give that a look. But...
I'm serious.
Yeah.
It was like 22 issues. There's two graphic novels. I think the main storyline is called My Life as a Weapon, but it's like what he's doing when he's outside of the Avengers. Like he's sitting on rooftops barbecuing with his neighbors and trying to convince them that he's not in the Avengers. It's fantastic. The very first issue, he gets he gets into a fight with some Russians. And then they kick a dog out into the street. He runs out back into the street, and like the dialogue is, really, who does that to a dog? And he adopts the dog, and eventually the dog is nicknamed Pizza Dog because he gives him pizza. And then they do a full episode from the dog's eyes. It's fantastic. And the art looks like, I don't know if anybody's familiar with the year one, but it looks a lot like David Mazzucchelli's art. So if you're a big Marvel fan, I cannot recommend the Hawkeye series enough. It's hysterical.
Cool. Good test. So that's been my week, Diablo and Marvel. So, but not that Marvel, the other Marvel.
Double Diablo.
Yeah. How about you, Pat?
Trails in the Sky the Third. I'm still playing it toward the review. I still can't talk about it under a hard embargo until Wednesday. But
and we still hate your guts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, next week.
You guys don't know how reluctant I was to give Pat that code. I was like,
well, I'm just happy that they've caught up to everything that they've announced now, and I'm really hoping that we hear something about Crossbell at
E3. Yeah.
So that's,
I'm just glad that they're starting to bring all of them to the PC now. The Cold Steel series is going to PC, so that means I don't really have to worry about keeping my PS3 out and, you know, sounding like a blow dryer. I could just listen to my just play it on the PC. So
have they actually said they're bringing the Crossbell stuff over here now? Or
Like I said, I'm hoping we hear something about it at E3.
Okay.
Yeah. Right, but now they're still playing that script where you gotta buy as much as you can, support as much as you can, and maybe they'll announce it. So.
And that's that's sensible. But
fingers crossed.
Apart from Cold Steel 3, they really don't have anything else to work on in the way of Trails now. So I'm pretty hopeful about it.
All right. Well, I guess I'm next. Persona 5. I have beaten the dungeon of the big bad, or at least what appears at first to be the big bad. Now I have to deal with the real big bad, which I still have like a week or two.
It's Persona.
Behind the guy.
I still have like a week or two of like end game time to get through first before, the big event starts. So
how many hours do you have logged?
Oh God, I can't even count them.
All of the hours.
All of them. Like I've played like 3 hours every night before I go to bed, pretty much since the game came out. So. Probably over around 50, 60 hours by now.
Really? Because my first playthrough was at 100.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right.
Dan Rob, do you have like a portable time machine or something? Because you seem to do everything all at once, and then you still have time to play games. I don't understand it.
Well, for Persona, like I had it like a week ahead of time, and then there's the fact that I had to get the review as quickly as possible. So on the weekends, that was all I did. And then when I got home, it would be like from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. And then, yeah.
Listen, if you don't want to admit you have a time machine, it's okay.
I would love one of those, actually.
Yeah. But
hyperbolic time chamber.
Yeah. Yes.
Other than Persona 5, I picked up For Honor for cheap at GameStop.
Didn't take long.
Yeah, but and I just started it a little while ago. It's fun, obviously, the game's been out for a while, and obviously my expectations aren't super high, but we'll see. All right, and that's me. What about you, Dan?
All right, pretty spread out. It's basically been sort of a break, especially since I haven't had to review anything in a while. I'm playing Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, and it's very much the same from Mario Kart 8 on the Wii U, except that all the DLC is unlocked already, and the only things you really have to unlock are the extra cards and stuff, which you've already seen in the previous game. I believe the only new unlockable is Gold Mario if you actually play through all the 200cc cups, and those are pretty fucking hard. It says breaking is encouraged, but if you break, you're gonna get past 12 times. So it's like that. And I'm in first place the entire time, and then I get hit by one red shell, not a spiky one, a red shell. And after that, you get hit by six more, and you find yourself in 12th place. So it's that typical Mario Kart bullshit that that's killing me there. But I'm enjoying it. It's a lot of fun. The review should be out maybe tomorrow. I just need to play a few more online games and try the. try the local play out. For what it's worth, I've only played on handheld. I haven't played with the TV yet. So if it's going to be the same thing as it was with Zelda, where we notice frame rates, that'll affect things. But
no,
so far,
I have actually played it on the TV, and I have not seen a frame rate drop too much. My kid awesome. Had his friends over here. It's for two-player split screen, it is still 60 frames a second at 1080p. For four, or more than two anyway, it is 30. So
okay.
It looks pretty solid. I'll let y'all know for the next podcast once we actually get some time in. I have to pace myself with Mario Kart because it likes to tear my family apart.
I totally get you there. I think like the best way to like really test that out would be to play 200cc in Big Blue or Mute City, because yeah, those are pretty staunchy kinds of levels to play in. Yeah. I also played through the fourth chapter of The Walking Dead Season 3, which I would say was probably my favorite chapter out of the entire series. So good thing with Telltale there. And I've also been playing Yooka-Laylee here and there, which I have to admit I'm not liking as much as I hoped I would. I'm a huge Banjo-Kazooie fan, and the level design in that game really spoke to me, whereas here it feels like the levels are just too big for their own good. I was someone that really, really enjoyed Banjo-Kazooie, and then I also really enjoyed Banjo-Tooie. But with Banjo-Tooie, I felt that the levels were also too big. Yooka-Laylee just takes that to a whole nother level, and it's just sometimes it doesn't really feel that inspired. But I don't know. I've only spent a few hours with it, but I'm not as engaged as I would like to be. But that's largely been it. What about you, Chris?
Well, one of the big things I played this week is the demo for Prey, which they just put out, which gives you access to about the first hour of the game. And it's pretty good, but it definitely gets me in the I hate scary games thing. Where so you play, if you've seen the trailer, where they have the person waking up in the room, and then show you, like, oh, later on, like, oh, doing it over again. That definitely is the beginning of the game. As you go through this little bit where you wake up, go look around, and it's kind of a bit a mix of, like, Bioshock, Deus Ex, where you can, like, pick up stuff and throw it around. You can also have a bit of, like, Dishonored stuff in there as far as, like, looting things and climbing up and trying to find alternate areas. And the video is up on the site and YouTube. And there's after you go through like the initial stuff and you do like the testing where like one of the mimic creatures breaks out. Like the guy asks for a cup of coffee and he's like, this doesn't look like coffee, and the creature just busts out at him, eats his face, and then there's gas and you pass out and wake up in the room again. They go look at the email on the computer, and it's like, get out of there now. I was like, what the fuck?
I feel like if it was that important, they would have phoned.
Yeah.
Why an email?
I don't know. There's lots of computers you can go click on their email.
See, I think it's stupid shit like that. Like, if there was an emergency, I wouldn't be like, well, let me send an email and hope they read it.
Well, then you find out that you're in this simulation, essentially. They've been sort of doing tests on you. I don't know how long, but like a lot of the email stuff is like Deus Ex, where you can find passwords or just extra information. Because I got into one of the areas, and it's like, oh, you can there are alternate exits, so you can go find the key card or find the other way out. And it's like, I just found the key card real easily, so it's like, I don't know where the hell you get out of here at. The key card was pretty easy, but. The thing with the mimics is that they can essentially disguise as any object in a room. And so there's a lot of times where I just go into rooms and, this coffee cup just turned into a mimic. Okay, I just beat him with the wrench you get early on. It's like one early part where I just had no idea how to get out of this room. But when I go into this one part of the room, just creepy music starts playing. It's like, what the hell is that for? I was like, there's something around, I can't see anything. Eventually, like the second time around, there's one of the mimics. It pops out and, like, kill him. You can loot his body, like one of the two things. There's like a tumor and it's like an actual thing you can pick up. You can't pick up the tumor for whatever reason. I don't know. But it very much has like System Shock and Bioshock kind of vibes to it. It seems okay. It's definitely not going to be something I'm playing. Yeah, it's a weird demo. There's a whole point where I get lost. I can't figure out how to get out of there. And then I realize I look right and there's a door just standing right there. It's like, oh, there's the obvious door I completely missed. Because I'm just looking left as I'm circling around this, the simulation room area that you're in. Yeah, it's a weird thing. I don't know how that game will do, but it'll be interesting to see what people take to that game. As for the other new game, I played What Remains of Edith Finch. I played about the first 30 minutes or so, and that is the follow-up to Giant Swan's previous game, which was The Unfinished Swan. And this very much is kind of in the vein of that and a mix of like Gone Home. As you play a girl named Edith Finch, who has inherited this house, the Finch house that she grew up in, but she has not been in there for about 10 years as they evacuated over some sort of emergency thing. And a lot of the game is just going through a bunch of the rooms and sort of learning how each of the members of the family died. And they die in weird, kind of Tim Burton-y, maybe Adam's Family or Munster-y kind of deaths. Like weird, macabre things. Like the first girl, if you've seen the trailer for this, where like the shark is falling down the hill, that is all this, first, girl's, sort of story. Cause you find like stories that essentially detail how they died. Mm. And it's not as grim as that sounds. Hers is she wakes up late one night and is hungry, and she wants to get something to eat, and her mom is not letting her out of her room, so she just eats random things in the room, then turns into a cat and gets out, tries to chase down a bird, and then turns into a shark that falls down the hill into the water, and you eat a seal, and then you turn into a tentacle monster that gets onto his ship and then eats the guy and somehow end up back in your room. And
this either sounds like the greatest thing ever or the dumbest fucking game I've ever heard of.
It's actually a really cool thing. Yeah, it's kind of just this fun, like little fantastical stories of what are probably the kids, sort of making up maybe what they think is going on.
Like, that change sounds real Neil Gaiman-esque, actually.
Kind of. But yeah, it's a really cool sort of way they tell these stories. There's another kid who dies because he disobeys his mom on the swing set. Like, don't go swinging too high, and you swing way over, and then he dies. It's a really weirdly told thing, but it's...
Well, that's pretty dank.
Yeah, but he had a twin brother who... sort of after that death, went to the army. You don't find out his story, but the kid is sort of a huge fan of astronauts. So that's sort of like his way of, I guess, trying to fly. Mm. And there's like another girl later on that is sort of a child actor, a famous child actor, and sort of has a moment where she could potentially regain her fame as a teenager, and it kind of turns into like a Friday the 13th kind of thing, especially with the same kind of music too. It's really weird sequences, but it's a really cool game, especially if you're into that sort of narrative focused adventure game thing. Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing some more of that, but that's about as much as I've played. And as for other stuff, I've been playing more Diablo 3. I decided to try out the Demon Hunter and then turned up the difficulty way too high. So I was taking 5 minutes to kill the first zombie in the game. I was like, well, this is too high. Nice. And I didn't want to start over, so I had to just keep fighting through it till I got to a point where I was pretty sure it would auto-save it, and then turned it way back down, so now it's a lot better, but yeah, I don't know what sort of crazy people would do that. Play with
Chris Logie.
I only did it for 5 minutes, or not even 5 minutes, like 30 minutes. But it was interesting to see sort of what they do, which is just make the enemies way more powerful.
Yeah,
they almost kill me in 2 hits, maybe. But then it was like Torment 6, something like that, which is way up. But then when I got into the town, I already had the blacksmith, because I guess I unlocked it on the Crusader run earlier. That starts unlocking parts of the town, so I brought in some of my other loot from the storage stuff and made some decent progress when I turned it back down. But I also played some more Marvel Heroes Omega, like Phil. Finish the first chapter, and I'll probably do a video of that in a little bit, maybe another day or two. Maybe if I can get you on, Phil, as well, so we can do some co-op with that.
Yeah,
I'll join you guys, too.
Okay. And, yeah, that's been pretty good. There are still some rough spots to it. A little bit of lag when you're in, like, the public areas.
Yeah.
Where multiple people are attacking the same enemies and just lots of the effects and such are going on, just kind of makes it all go crazy. You don't know when enemies die because there's just laser beams flying all over the place and shit.
Yeah.
But it's always nice when Eternity splinters fall, yeah, and that stuff. It's like, I didn't kill this guy, but I get free in-game currency. Yeah. The only bad thing is they're going to be doing a reset of that stuff, I think, on the 16th. So I'm probably not going to play too much more of it just to not waste my time. But that should be going to open beta soon after that.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
Are there going to be any personal benefits of playing the beta?
If you bought any of the Founders packs, you get to keep that in the G's that, but otherwise, it's just probably getting used to the game.
Yeah. Okay.
You could probably try out more of the heroes and just know who you exactly want to play. But yeah, that's been pretty good so far. And one of the best cutscenes in that game is when you find the... oh crap, I forget what his name is. The dude that can teleport all over the place.
No, Living Laser.
No.
No, the other guy?
The guy with the cape that lets him teleport.
Cloak?
No.
Oh, crap.
He's one of the first, like, dungeon areas you go to. He has an institute of his. Like, it begins with a T.
No.
I'm
forget what it is. But yeah, his, like, intro is this, like late night commercial ads, like, oh, do you want to learn how to kick ass and learn all these different fighting styles?
Taskmaster.
Yes, that's it. Taskmaster. and it's sort of that, like, shitty, like, 90s-esque late-night commercial, infomercial type thing. That's really fun, the way they do it. And they have, like, low-res animation and all that, just to make it look real nice. And it's one of the cool things, the cooler cutscenes in that game. As for other stuff, I've been playing more Skyforce Anniversary, which is a shmup on the PS4, and I beat it.
Yeah.
Sort of. I beat the 8th level, which prompted credits, and it's like, oh, here's another level. And here's a 4th difficulty on all the levels. So it's like, oh, that's no more than 3, but now there's a 4th.
And it's like...
Which is actually good because there's a trophy for getting like 100 of the stars. And I didn't like the idea of having to nearly max out all the levels, even the harder ones, on all 3 levels. So now I can focus more on the earlier ones that are easier and get the 100 without having to kill myself with these last couple that are just all about just kicking you in the nuts over and over again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's been pretty much everything I've been playing. So, how about you, Lee?
I've been doing the usual. I've been doing Legion. I've been getting into Overwatch again. You guys seriously need to stop being console peasants and come play with me on PC. Heroes of the Storm, actually, I've been playing it anyway. I like that game, but they now have an Overwatch thing, which Danrev, let me know when you want to get some games in.
I downloaded it, so maybe sometime next weekend or tonight. We'll see.
All right, you use that link I sent you?
I did.
Perfect. Okay, cool. Yeah, because getting the we can get you the Genji skin in like an hour.
So yeah, like my friends did the same thing. So
yeah, it's retardedly easy. So yeah, and so then like you know they added a bunch of stuff to that. They got Hanamura and Heroes now, and of course they just added Genji and stuff. So and of course it's part of that whole Heroes 2.0 relaunch, which is a lot of fun. But I actually managed to get my family into Overwatch too. That's been fun. Haven't done any like competitive games. Just been doing it against the AI. Just because you know I don't want my child to run into you know the people that exist on the internet.
We'll like talk
my
about wife, that.
Yeah, my wife is immune to that because she plays WoW with me, so you know she knows what kind of tools people can be online. But
you don't want your kids to find out about that yet.
It's not even that. Like Nathan will play online like with Minecraft, and people are nice, but that's because they're either like nobody goes into Minecraft. I think, and I could
be
wrong.
There are tons of kids on Minecraft too.
It's not just that there's tons of kids, but I mean it's a game about building. You know, yeah. Like even they do have deathmatch stuff in there, but like nobody's on there like get good scrub. Like it doesn't work that way. So well,
there could be like the assholes that set everything on fire.
Yeah, exactly. So we've been doing that. We've been doing some hero. I've been doing Heroes with my son too because he likes that game as well. And I did play a little Mario Kart. I have the thing that actually I probably played the most this week, besides my normal rotation stuff, is actually Puyo Puyo Tetris. There is something about Tetris in general that, of course, is like timeless. But yeah. There's something about playing Tetris on a Nintendo portable system that just feels like that's how it's supposed to be. So you know it's interesting. So and then of course played a little bit of Mario Kart, but I haven't had a chance to do that, you know, that much of it. So it's been a crazy week. So I wonder how you guys find the time. I really do.
We do. You've also what been hacking your 3DS?
Yes. So I don't remember what prompted it, but like you know I've got like two AGS 101 GBAs, right. And then I've got two OG GBAs modded with the AGS 101 screens, and they've been a lot of fun. But one of the things that happened is somebody was like, "Dude, if you hack your 3DS, you can get a lot of these GBA ROMs, and they run perfectly." And I've probably got 50 or 60 GBA games, but they were like, "Dude, it's so much better because you know you got the rechargeable battery, the form factor is better." Now I argue that the OG GBA and then like playing on like a new 3DS, they feel very similar because you know the width of your grip is about the same. But it has been awesome. Like so I hacked it. And there's this guy that figured out this GBA injector. So you can make the games like pop up, like you install them the same way that you would get something from the eShop. And they look the exact same. They come up with a virtual console and all that stuff. And the reason that it works is because the DS actually has hardware emulation built in for the GBA because of the OG DS stuff that's built into it. So you don't have to mess with an emulator or anything else like that. It just does it natively. They have these things, they're called CIAs that you install them with, and it's done like the actual hacking process is a little convoluted, but it's simple in the steps that you have to do. There's just a lot of it. And so it's kind of a trip going back and playing some of the stuff that I've been wanting to play again on the GBA. But the other cool thing is too, is like, you know, for any of the Final Fantasy games, a lot of people came up with hacks. Like, so they have the music hack for Final Fantasy 4, 5, and 6 because the music didn't sound as good on the GBA versions of those. They also have people that have done color corrections to games. So, like, and Pat, you'll remember this. Phil, I know you will too. Remember, I caught a bunch of shit back in the day because I gave Circle of the Moon like a 6 when we were on Game Annex. And and the funny part about it is, like, I went back and played it, and that game's still not very good. I think it was just sort of like, oh my god, this is a portable Castlevania that's huge and beautiful and da-da-da-da. But there's actually a patch that changes the colors. So it's like you're not staring into a painting that's all black on a black background with a black knight. So there's some of that stuff. Some of those adjustments are really cool. So if any of you guys have a new 3DS, it's pretty much impossible to brick it if you just follow the steps. And I highly recommend it just for the old school emulation. It's been a lot of fun. So then my son saw me doing that, and he was like, can you hack my 3DS? It's like, yes, that'll hack your 3DS.
get them started early.
And you know, the funny part is my son, I know when I was a kid, it was all about, you know, I love classic games, but it was, you know, I had a big thing with like, what's the next big thing coming out? And he's still interested in that too, but he's like, I'll go back and play some GBA games. Like, I don't know just what the generational difference is there, but he's like, yeah, screw it, I'll play something. It doesn't, and you know what I think it is?
GBA was awesome.
Well, yeah, the GBA was definitely awesome, but you know, I mean, like we were talking about Minecraft a minute ago. I mean, it's obviously not about graphics for a lot of these kids because they're playing Minecraft, for God's sake. So going back to something that's like on GBA or is pixel art or anything is not a big deal. And my son's into that anyway. We took him – he was in a video game creation class last year, like learning how to manipulate pixels and everything else like that. So he seems to have some love for the art form in and of itself. So he's a lot easier to convince. I'm sure there are some other kids like, ew, this looks bad. And be like, shut up, kid. So,
that little guy is so lucky. We didn't have any kind of shit like that when I was his age.
Nope. I think it's interesting. I don't know. He's in the room right now. Nathan, is it cool that your parents actually play games?
Yes.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
Because think about that.
You're like, raising that boy right, Lee.
Because think about it, right? Like, now, of course, I don't think it always works out in his favor, though, because, you know, he'll want to play stuff like Call of Duty. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that shit. but, you know, because his friends will do it. And I'm like, yeah, I don't care what your parents' friends do or your friends' parents do. We're not doing that. But like, we play things with him. So, like, and, you know, it's funny, like, some of my best memories are, like, when I actually got my mom to sit down and play Mario with me, or, like, my grandmother who got me into gaming by buying me my first NES, she would play Gyromite with me with the second controller and move the beams up and down. So, and I don't think he had two friends over here last night, and none of them, their parents do not play games. So I think it's one of those things, like, yeah, we're definitely raising him right. He was playing Chrono Trigger just the other day, and we played Dragon Quest together. So I got him on them classics, man.
Yeah.
There you go. All right.
So from the classics to some stuff that we can be playing this month, the Games with Gold and PS Plus games for the month of May have been announced. And, take us through these quick, Chris.
On PlayStation Plus this month, for the PS4, it's Abzu, which is quite a good game. And Tales from the Borderlands, which, if you're liking Guardians of the Galaxy, that might be something that'd be up your alley, Phil.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have to like Borderlands to enjoy the story, but it's sort of that kind of comedic action game.
Yeah.
That is was a surprising thing. I think I got through a couple of episodes of that, but I need to get back to that. On PS3, there's Blood Knights, which is, I looked it up, it was kind of a Diablo platformer game, kind of.
Mm.
Not so much in the loot sense, but definitely kind of has that perspective and a little bit of loot, but not Diablo-style loot. There's also Port Royale 3, Pirates Merchants, which is a German RPG, so that kind of Eastern European RPG.
Yeah.
Where you can play as pirates and kill people and pilot ships and all that sort of stuff. Or you can be a merchant trader and set up trading routes and all that sort of shit. Mm. So, weird game to get here in North America.
Yeah.
Did any of you guys play the Games with Gold this month? I think one of them was Motocross Madness. Have y'all played that?
I played it when it came out.
That's actually a pretty decent title. I was watching my kid play it this weekend. So I'm glad to see them, even with the weirder titles, I'm glad to see them start putting something else out there that's like, oh, I never would have played this if you hadn't given this to me for free, but this is all right.
Yeah, that was that weird era where Microsoft's like, play all of our Avatar games. You'll get more stuff.
I got to tell you, well, right now my Avatar has a Bane mask and a DuckTales t-shirt. And so seeing him fly across some motocross was very interesting. And he's got Wolverine's claws too, which is even funnier. Mm. So,
all right. So for the Vita, both of these are cross-buy with the PS4. There's Laser Disco Defenders, which I talked about a while ago, which is kind of a bit roguelike, but also a bit just shootery. Sort of side-scrolling shooter, but your shots bounce off walls. So you don't want to necessarily go guns blazing, or else you're just going to have a bunch of bullets to dodge. It's a pretty cool little game. And they just put out the PS4 version a month or two ago. So the other game is Typewriter, which is a game that's all about font and types, sort of thing, like a little adventure platformer thing. That I recall it being pretty good. I don't know if we had a review of that or not.
Don't think we did.
I'm upset that it's not a play on Knight Rider, because if you played Michael Knight typing on Kit the Typewriter, I would buy that twice.
Yeah, that's unfortunately not it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the PlayStation Plus for this month, which is pretty good.
Not too bad.
Yep. As for Xbox Live Games with Gold, for Xbox One, on what is this, May 1st, you'll get, let's see, Giana's Sisters Twisted Dreams Director's Cut, which is a decent little platformer.
Yeah,
very, very weird visuals. And the other game you get on Xbox One on May 16th is Lara Croft and the Temple of Osiris.
That's a fun game.
Yeah, the isometric dual stick shooter sort of thing.
Yeah.
For the Xbox 360 stuff that is also playable on Xbox One, May 1st is Star Wars The Force Unleashed 2. Mm. Not great.
That's a letdown.
Yeah. And the other game is Lego Star Wars The Complete Saga,
which is awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any of you guys have played those? I'm a big fan of the Lego games because I'm a kid, but.
Yep.
Some of the humor in those games is absolutely hysterical. Like when there's a scene when you do Empire where you're in the tunnel and you're Luke fighting Vader, and after he gets his hand cut off, instead of doing the, you know, whole like, no, you know, he told me you killed my father. No, I am your father. They don't do that. Vader pulls out a picture of them together when he was a kid and points at him. He's like, this is you, and points at him, and he's like, no! The humor in that game is hysterical.
Yeah, those are the games that.
Yeah,
those are the games that got us on the current. There's a Lego game for every Disney and Star Wars thing now.
Yeah.
The Lego series is one of the few that I just like laugh while I'm playing. It's just completely hysterical.
Yeah, because they're not hard. Some of the platforming stuff is actually really cool. Like some of the solutions they come up with, and the amount of replayability in them is fun. And it's just, especially like with something like Star Wars that. You know, in a way, you know, particularly as it's sort of been in the cultural consciousness for so long, the way that they poke fun at some of this stuff is just hysterical. And it works, I think, better in Star Wars and like the Marvel stuff compared to some of the other properties. Like the Harry Potter ones were just okay. But like any of the Marvel ones where you have them, you know, kind of doing like, you know, years and years of history that they're plucking from. Same with Star Wars. It's just a whole different story. And they're all hysterical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So, and that's
that's the complete one, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Damn,
should
that's
have
cool.
all
that's,
three games.
Oh, yeah. No, well, if it's a complete one, it should have six.
So, well, it covers all six movies. It's all three of the Lego Star Wars games.
Yeah.
And there's a PS Plus sale this week that has what was it, Street Fighter V, the 2017 Deluxe Edition, which includes both season passes. In the game for $40.
Wow.
That seems like about as good a deal as you're going to get.
So far, yeah. That's
yeah.
Bad.
They really have bowl season passes?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like normally $80, but it's half off.
Yeah.
Ends up at the value there.
Yep. All right, so let's get into our Nintendo block of stories. And nobody saw this coming. Nintendo has decided to kill the NES Classic and launch the 2DS XL for some reason.
Yeah,
fucking Nintendo.
Now, this is a console that nobody has really asked for. I don't think the 2DS really did that well.
Well with parents.
Yeah,
I think this is something that they were doing. I was talking with my wife about this on the porch the other night. When I got the announcement, it came up on Twitter. I was like, "What the hell?"
Yeah, they announced this at like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, it was like 10:30 at night. I'm getting this Twitter thing, and like it was from I don't remember who it was from. But they were like, "New 2DS ... ... and. And, you know, that's kind of how I felt about it, too. It was like, who is this even? Okay.
I think this is what the last 3DS system is going to be.
Yeah.
As they sort of set it out.
I think sure the other part of it, too, I think the other reason it exists, though, too, is because they know there's a gap that we talked about. We talked about this on the show a couple weeks ago, is that, you know, they still need to have this holiday season. Despite how successful the Switch has been, they still need to have a cheap system that people can buy their kids. And people aren't going to buy their kids a Switch. They're not going to let them take their Switch on a road trip or to school or anything else like that. So this is Nintendo still showing that market is important to them, especially since it's, you know, I'd imagine at this point manufacturing those things is cheap as shit. And so The fact that they didn't make it at $100 is retarded. But that's
at $149.99, I'm not sure it checks the box it's trying to check.
No, yeah. Exactly, because then you can go, I can get full 3D for another $50. Like what? Or $129, you know, something lower than that. Because
I wouldn't be surprised if that's like a Black Friday sale, like $99 or $129 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, like last Black Friday, we had 3DSs for $100. Exactly. Granted, they were hard to find, but they were a lot cheaper.
Yeah, but this is something that a lot of people have been harping on Nintendo about. You killed the NES Classic to release this, but to be fair, this doesn't cost them any capacity, doesn't cost them any R&D whatsoever.
Yeah, because remember during the holidays, it was like, nobody can buy a 3DS, they're just not out there anymore.
Yeah.
Guessing that's why this is out there, this is what was taken over.
We also talked about earlier in the year, 3DSs you couldn't find.
Yeah.
And this is, I think, addresses that.
And it looks really nice, too.
Yeah.
It feels like they're solving a problem that didn't exist.
Yeah.
You know, I think the better thing to do is if this was like partially about price point as well, then they should have just lowered the price on the 3DS, or excuse me, on the new 3DS. And you know, because they still have the OG 2DS for $80. So doubling the price to give someone a clamshell and bigger screens, like, I don't know that checks out, you know, as far as the math. And then like Pat said, I mean, you know, what box are they checking here? Because for $50 more, you can get the full-fledged 3DS and have the 3D. And, you know, it just doesn't – I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I think –
but thanks for killing the NES Classic, you dick.
Yeah. Well, for some people, $50 is, you know, it's the cost of a game. It's basically the difference between getting a system and not getting one. So, you know, I think for some people that will be appealing. So,
yeah, I just think that they could have just done the price cut the other way.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like with this system, though, it kind of eliminates the point to even having a new 3DS. I mean, as an owner of that, I'm like, all we have on that fucking game is Xenoblade Chronicles, and you know, like, why else
to ask?
The only other reason to have it is the Super Nintendo emulation.
Yeah. Is that exclusive? I don't even know. Okay,
yeah, it is. It's exclusive to the new 3DS.
So that's the new 2DS XL coming in the summer.
Yeah, the 2DS WTF.
Yeah, okay. That's one thing. If you're looking for some more Mario toys, you can get those at McDonald's right now. They've got Happy Meal going on till May 22nd. And pick up.
Here's where you see a bunch of adults trying to who feign that they have kids need to buy a bunch of these.
Mm-hmm.
For the record, cheap looking toys.
I don't know about other territories, but in California, if you want to buy the toy without a meal, it's $1.89.
Yeah.
Just not bad, considering, you know, amiibos and shit. So, yeah. I have the Mario. It's on my desk. I like it.
Yeah. Well, that's one way to get it. So, you know.
Yeah,
those people are lucky I like Big Macs, unironically.
Hey, dog, let me get a Big Mac and two of them Yoshis.
I have nothing against McDonald's, so that's totally fine with me.
Yeah. I mean, it's just another licensed promotion. Nothing out of the ordinary. You
know, one thing I have against McDonald's is it tastes like shit. That's just me.
Some people will debate that, but yeah.
See, I'm from the South. We got Chick-fil-A. Every other fast food restaurant, with the exception of In-N-Out, is inferior.
Yeah. Which we can't because they're closed on Sundays.
Oh, I know.
They started doing all-day breakfast, so that's why I kind of care again. But
yeah, I'm not gonna lie. All-day breakfast is serious business.
Mm. Yeah, if you want an Egg McMuffin at 5 p.m., I ain't bad.
I just woke up.
Give me one of them Koopa Stones.
All right. So, moving along, we got another Nintendo story. They've been outlining their E3 plans lately, and they don't include an E3 press conference.
Totally not shocked.
Shouldn't be news. They're
obviously trying to save money, you know, because of how much the that new 2DS. This is obviously costing.
Yeah, I don't get this at all. You just launched a system; you should have a presence at E3. It's like you're not really taking this seriously, Nintendo.
Reggie said they were all in on E3. I guess the press conference isn't part of that plan.
Yeah.
I think I'll just do another Nintendo Direct and a bunch of live streams.
Probably. But
it does bring up a bit of a concern, though, especially
because Reggie, this E3
is going to be more consumer-driven.
Well, there probably will be that. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But
good luck waiting in line for 12 hours to get in to see any of this stuff.
Yeah.
Hopefully you booked a few appointments to go to, because, those will be valuable, I suspect. Anyways. So, yeah, don't expect a press conference from Nintendo at E3, because it ain't happening. Which is, you know, you'd think they'd have enough money to do that, because they've sold 2.74 million Switches worldwide so far. So,
well, you know my feelings about it. They just don't want to risk Reggie's body being ready again.
After the shit show that was the Japanese Nintendo presentation, I don't want to see another one from them. So,
There's two things I don't ever want to see from a Nintendo press conference. I don't ever want to see Reggie's body ready or not, and I don't want to see Kimishima on stage. He is terrible, and not just because of the language barrier. He doesn't have a stage presence.
No,
at all. It's just like a lump sitting on stage. So, yeah.
Just get that Switch guy with the hat that snaps his fingers. That's all you need.
Just get him doing
that guy and Bill Trinan is all they need.
Just have him sitting there on stage, and every 15 minutes or so, he just snaps the Switch like that. No content whatsoever, just that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They sold 2.76 million copies of Breath of the Wild for the Switch.
Yeah.
So that's a little over one per system.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's one person here who has bought two copies, so I know
John. I was reading their attach rate is more than 100%, which is comical.
Yeah.
But then the other thing too, you got to think about what those figures mean, right? Like Nintendo could say, well, the attach rate's over 100%, but that could be, you know, somebody bought the Master System edition before they had a Switch because they couldn't find the fucking thing.
Right.
That's it's good sounding PR, but I don't know that it's necessarily honest.
Yeah. And there's probably a few, you know, speculators there too. So we'll just buy the game and keep it sealed because,
yeah,
you know. Because of that crap. Might turn into another Twilight Princess. You never know.
Yeah. We own two copies. I got it on the Wii U and I got it on the Switch.
Yeah.
But I don't have two for the Switch. Because I'm not letting my child touch my Switch. he can play it on the Wii U.
So in other news, longtime industry veteran Genyo Takeda has decided to retire.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere.
Well, yeah.
I hope his retirement package came with a handle.
Ooh.
No chill.
Yeah, so for those of you who are not familiar with Genyo Takeda, you want to tell us who he was, what he's been up to?
He put the handle on the GameCube. Well, that was the joke.
Yes. But that's not all he's done.
No, that's not all he's done.
He's basically been Nintendo's hardware design chief for years.
Mm-hmm. So, he did the Switch, and now he's out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he, I remember he was the one that came up with the N64 with the analog stick. And I think, no, he didn't do Game & Watch. That was,
That was Gunpei Yokoi.
That's right, yeah. So,
Hey, he's more than earned it. He's been at Nintendo for I don't know how many years.
Yeah, and he also directed Punch-Out, Dr. Mario, all that stuff. So he's mm-hmm. done some stuff.
Yeah, it says he was hired in 1971.
Yeah.
So been there for 46 years.
That's a long fucking time,
to be at one company.
And he was, 27? 24?
Yeah.
Now he's 68?
Yeah.
Mm.
He deserves a rest.
Yeah, I think he does. Right.
Spent like 2/3 of his life at this one company.
Yeah. And a lot of that he had to deal with Yamauchi. So.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Put a handle on it! Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So finally, our last Nintendo-related story is, they're sticking to that 2017 release date for Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Wow, I'll
still got 7 months to find out.
Yeah.
When Nintendo is going to do like a big name like franchise release like this, the general rule of thumb here is when they announce release dates, just assume it's going to be delayed.
So,
I haven't even opened X, so honestly, this is a hell of a turnaround if they actually pull it off.
Yeah,
X is actually really good.
Yeah,
it was like what
I hope much like many things, pretty much everything that was on the Wii U, I hope comes to the Switch because I will probably never I own X, but I will probably never actually have the time to sit down and play it. But if they can slap it on something that I can take to my bedroom, then I'll be in there.
Yeah,
I am actually surprised because a lot of people will forget this, but Monolith Soft. The guys behind the Xeno everything.
All things Xeno.
Yeah, they did a lot of work on the environments for Breath of the Wild.
Yep. Yes, they did.
So the fact that they're able to have gone through all... I'm not sure if maybe they were already working on Xenoblade Chronicles 2 for a little while, and I guess somewhere later down the line that... Anuma got them and Miyamoto got them to help on Breath of the Wild. Let's just hope that
team on that.
Yeah. Let's just hope that, folks at Monolith Soft don't end up killing themselves from overwork.
Yeah.
This game was brought to you by coffee and lots of it.
Yep, it's Mario time.
Yeah.
It'd be coffee and unpaid overtime.
Yeah.
Mm.
So.
All right, so now we get to the part of the show that's not related to Nintendo. Microsoft story here. On May 9th, Forza Horizon 3 is getting an expansion pack
for
$20, and it's Hot Wheels.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. This is the coolest fucking idea I have ever seen for a racing game. The fact that I can do loop-de-loops in a fucking Lamborghini is awesome.
Yeah.
And the Hot Wheels thing, anybody our age that played with these things, like, I want them to bring out the hovercraft cars. You remember those that Hot Wheels did? They came with, like, a little – you hit, like, a pump with your fist, and you would shoot them across the room. We did this a lot when I was a kid. So – and I want them to somehow turn the moon into a black light. Like that one Hot Wheels track where like it, there was it came with a black light, so everything glowed in the dark. I need this. I need this.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm, as you can see, I'm not really interested.
No, no, not at all. But yeah, this will be out soon. It looks really, really fun. Not the first.
The only thing that, the only thing that can make this better is that they have a feature where you can tie firecrackers on the top of it. And have it like explode.
There's
and then like have them go off ramps and explode midair.
Exactly. There's already a running joke here in Atlanta that the way they're going to fix 285 is just do a Hot Wheels loop de loop on it. So this is a very timely thing for me to see happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sort of reminds me of Big Surf Island on Burnout Paradise.
Yeah.
It was that crazy island that's just all big jumps and shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't
they really got to bring back real Burnout? Oh my god!
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk a little bit about something that's related to that in a bit.
But. Yeah, I just I can't even tell you. I mean, I'm so excited for that expansion, and I normally don't get too excited about DLC. Normally, I feel like it's somebody just wasting my time and my money. But I saw that, and I was like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah, this is not the first time that that Turn 10 has done Hot Wheels DLC, but it's typically just been car packs.
Yeah.
Now they're going, you know.
Like, oh, you stuck. Yeah, I was like, oh, you stuck some decals on this. Where are my ramps, assholes? And they're like, right here. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. So look forward to that. I still need to pick up Forza Horizon 3. God damn it.
Such
so
a good
many
game.
Games.
It's such a good game.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the, you know, I don't, you guys know me. I don't put a lot of time into, like, newer releases because I just don't have time. But that is one of those that I got at launch. It was totally worth the money. Nothing in the game feels punitive. You know, everything that you do gets you XP. It is just it's a fantastic experience all around. And so the fact that they're doing this Hot Wheels thing, I'm like, ah, oh, this is great. So like I said, I'm not looking forward to it at all, but I reward their ingenuity.
All right, so moving on, Atlus has revised their Persona 5 streaming guidelines to be a little less draconian.
More that they just pushed the date that you're not allowed to show stuff from.
Yeah.
From July 7th to November 19th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sort of right before you start going into the final stretch.
So it's 3/4 of the game now rather than 1/3.
Yeah.
I still can't take screenshots or video on the PS4 itself.
Yeah, well, that's Atlas Japan.
Which is amusing when it gets trophies. And those automatically take screenshots.
Yep.
It just pops up like, can't take a screenshot here.
God damn it.
Can't do it anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. People have been just photographing their screens or using capture cards because, yeah, good luck stopping those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is one
like,
of those.
Like, bro, this is going to go on the internet. Who do you think you're fucking with here?
Yeah. It's just, you can't win.
The game is largely about the internet.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's like, seriously. Anyways. Yeah, so that happened. What else happened is, Atlus Sound Team has partnered up with IM 8-Bit, and they'll be releasing two vinyl editions of the Persona 5 soundtrack. Expensive, a little bit on the expensive side.
Bill's got a new project.
Yeah, I figured right away that you'd want to know about it anyway. So,
yeah. Well, it's they're doing the Essential Edition, as they're calling it, is $100, and that's a 4-LP set to be. It's going to have, you know, custom artwork. Yeah, $100 for a 4-LP set, custom artwork, nice box set.
Wait, it's four records? That's actually not that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not great. But...
Yeah, and then there's the limited edition, the deluxe edition, which
and that's
is,
like probably about like what like $500 a lock of someone's hair, and then your soul.
Well, six LPs. That's the complete soundtrack, and that's 175.
Fuck that.
Yeah, limited to 1,000 copies.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
That one's a little on the pricey side, I find. I might have gone up to 130, but no, 175. Yeah, that's
new 2DS money.
Yeah, you can buy a new 2DS and probably a game for that price.
Yeah,
so.
I applaud the fact that they're putting soundtracks on anything, you know, especially when you can just steal everything.
Yeah.
You also got to kind of know the audience. I think that's a lot of money.
Yeah,
that's also, they know their audience will pay for.
They do because they stuff. Keep selling this stuff out.
Yeah.
Well, never see it coming.
But it's easy to sell out anything if you only make 1,000 of them. Look at the NES Classic.
Yeah, a limited release of 1,000 copies for vinyl is not uncommon. I don't know. I'm still. I think probably by the end of the day, I might actually pre-order and then just see if I end up getting it.
And then look at it with regret.
Well, I mean, it won't be shipping until Q4, and it's also IM 8-bit, so it usually gets delayed.
Yeah, which means you probably won't see until quarter three of 2018. So.
Yeah,
I'll probably have my Battletoads with Link running somewhere.
Oh, you have the Battletoads vinyl?
I do.
Yeah,
it's just sitting on my.
Do you own a record player?
Nope.
Damn you, Tanner.
Fuck, man! I got two of them.
Yeah,
that's how much of a hipster he is. it's cool because like you open the case and it has the song automatically just playing. I'm like, oh, cool. Close it again. Leave it there.
Yeah.
So
I'll just download this.
Yeah. And but by the way, before we move on, just a quick little thing here. I mentioned this on Let's Weekend Cast. You know that that collaboration Atlas is doing with Vanillaware?
Yes.
You know, the people who did Dragon's Crown, Odin Sphere, blah, blah, blah. Those guys.
Sounds like there'll be tits.
Yeah. So that it's called 13 Sentinel Aegis Rim or something like that. Yeah. It's going to be showing. They're going to be showing it off at E3 this year. So probably release date soon.
Yeah.
Will there be a record?
I hope so.
All right, now we get to what is.
I feel like essential is a stronger word than deluxe, though. They should have switched these around. That's how I feel.
Well, essential, I'm guessing, implies all of the stuff that you really want to hear. Because let's be honest, I mean, this in the 110 song soundtrack, there's a lot that are just short and just little stingers and stuff that you don't really need to put on there.
So, yeah, thanks. Only like two songs I really care about. Special edition, and I got like 10, 15 songs, something like that.
Yeah. So, you remember the dude that was DDoSing Xbox Live and PlayStation Network?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Guy is going to jail now.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
So remember, kids, only you can prevent forest fires.
And he was a teenager, too. So
he was 16 when he created the titanium stressor DDoS tools.
I was saying, wasn't a big reason he got sent because he created the tools rather than actually doing the...
We also sold them.
Yeah,
that's what I mean.
Made £386,000, which is $500,000.
Well, I mean, if you can't make money through harassment, how can you make it? I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, had about
what kind of world are we living in?
112,000 registered users on his site, which has attacked about 666,000 IPs.
This is like the internet equivalent of egging a house.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, except when you egg that house, then the house falls and through the floor.
Yeah.
So
he
and you can't open the front door.
Yeah, the numbers they have here is that he personally carried out 594 attacks. He's in the UK, including one on his college, where he was studying computer science.
Mm.
Well, there's
also targeted 70 schools and colleges, including a bunch around him. It's a good way to get yourself caught, is to just attack things right around you.
Do you think he got extra credit for attack since he was in computer science and then attacked his own school?
No,
but I am going to say this. I have a feeling.
I feel like that's a missed opportunity.
I have a feeling that once his sentence is up, he's may or may not end up getting a job with the Queen's Intelligence Service.
Oh yeah, he probably
he's going to join the Phantom Thieves. I'll put it here now.
Right,
yeah, he's getting fucking put up.
They're gonna hook that kid up and try to turn him into Q from James Bond.
Yeah.
Yeah. GCHQ isn't too particular these days. So.
Yeah. He's going to be about 2 years in a young offenders institution.
Yeah. So basically a slap in the wrist.
What is jail like in Britain?
It's at least better than getting probation like a lot of these sort of people would get.
Yeah.
That's sort of like a first time offense.
Yeah.
Look at this photo of him.
That's a lot of money.
You know you can't hold me here.
It's like,
baby, yeah. I'm a thug.
What I also heard is that the site where he sold all of this stuff, all the registered users, apparently not good security. So might be able to find out exactly who bought copies of this these tools. These are the ones that Lizard Squad used.
Yeah. I gotta tell I didn't see the security tweet, thing coming.
But yeah.
That's what you call irony, folks.
Yeah. Did you use a secure password?
Apparently not. Yeah. In other news, the final episode of Tropes vs. Women in Video Games is out now.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. I'll just leave that there.
Look, I don't care. I know that there's some people that hate that. But I think in any sort of artistic endeavor, it is good to have criticisms, whether they are off base or not. And I do think some of what Anita says has merit. I think what is unfortunate about the whole situation with her is that like what we were talking about, like this kid that sold those tools and everything, that kind of stuff was used against her. This stuff that's happened to this woman and the women around her and really the women in the video game industry in general is absolutely ugly. And so the fact that you have someone out there pointing this stuff out, you know, I mean, in a lot of ways, gaming is really a boys club. And that resentment of breaking up the, you know, the old white guard or whatever, I think is some of the reason why you see these attacks happen to her. So even though I don't agree with some of this stuff, I do think she takes it a little far in a lot of ways. Yeah. I think it's fantastic that it's even out there because I think if you have an industry like ours where if you're not open to those kinds of criticism, particularly when these are games made by programmers and programmers by definition want to take the shortest route possible. And I think that there has to be, and that's not because they're lazy or anything else like that. It's a binary thing. Like how do you get from point A to point B in the most efficient way possible? But I think that with the cultural impact and scope that video games have, it's very important to have critics of the way that stories and things like that are produced. And so I think it's fantastic she did it, even though I don't agree with a lot of the stuff that she says.
Yeah. I think it would. Jim Sterling probably said it best to me. Well, not personally, of course, but to me, he said it best when, and this really relates not just to game, just about everything, that it's important to remember that critique does not equal condemn.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. She especially says that a lot in her videos. Like,
yeah, and I think a lot of people miss that point. Like, they go, how dare you?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think in part it's because there's a kind of a generation of people who were not really taught critical thinking skills. I think
very fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
The first comment on this article is go ahead.
I don't even want
to. I'm done.
Okay, yeah, the first comment on this is exactly what you'd think. I'm all for people criticizing video games. What I don't like is when those critics are going into dev studios and telling them to change stuff in their games. Effectively telling
them not what happened. Self-censor
anything that they don't approve of. There are pictures of interview
that
questions.
That is not what happened.
Where she's talking about how she does talks and workshops with studios.
Hmm.
Like she's not telling them to force it. And then Stephen Tatel has a great response. I'll just read the first part, but it says, if the creative people with whom Anita Sarkeesian meets have so little conviction in their work that they wilt to her whims the moment she talks about what she values in the depiction of women in video games, that's on them, no?
Yeah. Well, and I think the other thing that the other part that's missing from this conversation too, that I think is really important, that anytime anybody brings this up, and we'll talk about this when we talk about the censorship thing in a minute, is that I think context is so important when you deal with any of these kinds of things. And this idea, like Totila definitely has a point. Like, if they are automatically then just going to go whatever their convictions were, then just get changed automatically. Well, then they weren't there in the first place. Yeah. And I think, you know, and to take it a step further, is that I think that there is, to a certain extent, I think there is willful ignorance when it comes to the games industry about the way that some of this stuff gets portrayed. But then, and then I think there is people that simply don't know. And so having someone like Anita Sarkeesian come in and go, hey, this is what this looks like, guys, is valuable. You know, because the thing is that, like, I mean, when we're talking pure statistics, I mean, women are half the gamers out there in the world. But, like, I have met so many girls and women that don't want to admit that they're women playing video games because of these fucking ugly people that we have that are part of our hobby and part of our careers and stuff that want to have this bullshit litmus test against someone that has a vagina, and that, you know, because then they may not be hardcore. Oh, I bet you played Bejeweled. Like, who the fuck gives a shit? Like, you're playing something. Like, this money is all getting funneled so people can be creative. I have come across more women that play MMOs than any other genre out there. And that, you want to talk about a place where people aren't going to necessarily feel safe? It's in an online space in something like an MMO. I mean, and just to, as a personal anecdote, you know, I've been with my wife for 10 years, and my wife has come to final round. She's been completely comfortable. There's been no problems whatsoever. But I didn't want her to make an account on SRK because I didn't want her to be attacked for who I was, and then really just be subject to the vitriol that these ignorant man babies like to throw out at women when they feel threatened because something that they're into, someone with a vagina might be into.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I really do think, I'm just going to be completely honest here. I think one of the reasons we've allowed this particular to fester is because it's because we want to think that we're better than them, and you know, and I mean, that's untrue.
True.
We are, but the problem with that is it makes us want to think that, you know, we want to put ourselves, say, like, you know, when they go, it's that whole, you know, when they go low, we go high thing, and you know, that may sound pretty and nice on paper, but it's also meant that we've basically ignored it for too long, and that we haven't really done any, like, anything to, like, actually organize to combat it. So my real suggestion would be it's time to just stop ignoring it and to start actually fighting it.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to be lost by being inclusive. And I think that's the biggest, like, I think the biggest problem when you see these kinds of arguments leveled against people like Anita Sarkeesian and Zoe Quinn and all them is that just because a woman comes in and has an opinion and brings up this, you know, points out some of the problems with some of the things that these people are consuming as far as media goes, you know, to the Jim Sterling point, you know, critique doesn't automatically mean that you're just going to be like, fuck this, it shouldn't be made anymore and all that stuff. But, you know, there's I think there's also to a certain extent a social responsibility if you are putting out something to the general masses. And I think that really matters. And I think further, you know, what's so frustrating to me about the whole thing is, like, when I think about people that behave this way and stuff like that, like, and I see this a lot in the fighting game community, the way some of these people act, like, they were all raised by women. Like, you should know goddamn good and well that you should not be behaving this way. And for whatever reason, you do it. But, you know, again, like, you can have both things. You can have things be inclusive and not have them threaten something that you care about. And I think so much of this is more than anything is projection. It is these people not being able to understand that, you know, life just doesn't revolve around them or what their desires are or what they want to watch or what they want to play or anything else like that. And you, from a strictly monetary standpoint, it's a really dumb move for a lot of these companies to make if they do decide to be that way and put out products that turn off women, because women play games too. And they and I think the thing a lot of people miss is that they play them a lot more. They just don't admit it because of all the fucking man children that would attack them or say, like, how could you enjoy this or whatever the fuck, you know? So.
Yeah.
My wife plays Bayonetta, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
You know, like, and she's like, this is cool. This, she's badass. She kicks ass. I'm sure the minute she sees Horizon Zero Dawn, she's going to be like, this is awesome. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there, I've heard people out there argue, like, well, the reason they made it a girl is because they wanted to appeal to women. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Have you seen her design?
Yeah. My manhood is not threatened by playing Lara Croft or Aloy or anybody else like that.
Yeah, I've read comments from people like, I just can't get my immersion up when I'm playing with a woman character. It's like,
I love
fuck?
That excuse. I love that one because that's the best one. So you're riding around killing mechanical dinosaurs and that's immersive, but because the person you're playing has tits, this might not actually work. Come on.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So.
What I guess it really ends up coming down to is that the video games as a medium are finally starting to grow up.
Yeah.
We've seen this kind of conflict in other media for years.
Yeah.
Used to be that authors who were women would take up male pen names.
Yep.
Because they didn't want to be outed.
And you don't believe us? I got two examples for you. James Tiptree Jr. and Andre Norton. Both of them were women.
S.E. Hinton.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So. You know, it's something that every industry, medium.
Yeah, everyone goes through it. And, like, to take the author thing further, you know, Michael Crichton wrote under a pen name. He did a book about abortion and a woman's right to choose. He did that under a different name because he thought it would be easier to do it under as an unknown author rather than somebody making a stand, and he thought it would damage his career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's crazy. So yeah, video games need to grow up. Period.
Yep. So, and speaking of needing to grow up, Xseed's Tom Lipschultz.
You missed one here.
Oh, we did. Oh yeah. Oh, how did I forget this? Well, okay. Night Trap 25th Anniversary Edition has been announced. I never saw this one coming.
This was not on my radar whatsoever.
Yeah, they tried to do a Kickstarter a few years ago that failed.
Yeah.
I think rightfully so, because they just weren't very explicit about the details about it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
But, yeah, since then they've apparently figured out whatever money issues were plaguing that initial attempt to remaster it.
Now
bring it to PS4 and PC.
Yeah.
I don't get this one bit. I mean, the whole thing's already on YouTube.
Do we need to explain, you know, why this stupid little game is it? Why
probably
it has
yeah.
so
this
important.
Is the reason we have the ESRB.
This yep. and Mortal Kombat, yeah.
This Mortal Kombat, Time Killers, and Lethal Enforcers. These are this is the
this
reason
is the
we
most
have
notorious
it.
FMV game that's ever been released.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yep. Yeah,
and it was and utterly irrelevant until. Until it got hammered in the media for its content.
Yep.
Specifically by Senator Joe Lieberman.
The irony is now it's rated T for teen.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was just funny.
Way to go, Joe.
Well, the worst things you see is a teenage girl in a bra.
Yeah.
And these weird zombie things just grabbing these girls.
Such a weird game.
Well, I'm okay with this because now it means an entirely new generation of players are gonna get to discover how crappy this game is.
Yeah, they're gonna get it and they're gonna go, what? What the fuck?
The whole point of the game is not actually watching the cutscenes.
Yeah.
give me Sewer Shark remade and we'll talk.
Damn right.
I guess it is a cultural touchstone of sorts, but my God.
Yeah.
It's getting a limited physical run with limited run games, but it's also going to be digital.
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to come out fairly soon. the spring.
Yeah. How do you even remaster something like this? I mean, you go back to the old tapes and rescan.
Very carefully, I guess.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of the actual, like, the different versions of it.
Yeah.
And shows how this is, they got this up to 1080p and all that.
For curiosity, it'll probably be worth checking out at least.
This is amazing.
Yeah, like the cover has over 1.5 hours of full motion video.
that's
what a time to be alive.
Yeah.
So much video.
Yep.
It's multimedia, guys, remember.
Totally multimedia. It has video and audio.
And the best part was when you watched it, because the Genesis can display that many colors, the video looked like shit.
The artifacting was catastrophic.
Now back to what I was about to talk about before, which was Exceed Tom Lipschultz wanting his credit removed from future projects over a, well, thing.
This guy's a tool.
Yeah, it's... All right, so... Basically, what you need to know is that Tom Lipschultz is...
A tool.
Well, yeah, that, but he's also one of the main translators over at Exceed.
Yeah, high rollers over there.
Yeah, he's a localizer, basically. And he occasionally, you know, obviously, for the record, he's up to this point, he'd been one of the main guys over on the Trail series and had done good work. But, okay, so there's a brand in Japan known as NKK Switches. It's a light switch company. That's based out of Akihabara, you know, Akiba.
Yeah.
And so the thing is, though, outside Japan, you know, that joke wouldn't really work because people outside Japan don't really know what NKK Switches is. So Mr. Lipshit came up with a brilliant idea because he thought it was so funny. Because there was they had a thing called NKK Witches, which is a sort of a faction of witches in the Akiba's Beat game, to turn it into KKK Witches, because he thought it was so funny.
And so yeah, we were talking about this before we jumped on the show. The thing that is so frustrating to hear that, and the reason why this whole thing stinks is because. And particularly for Brandon and I, we live in a part of the country where the KKK is still around.
Yeah.
And so, like, the fact that this guy thinks, number one, like, if you read his statement about it, it was very much like, I'm going to put myself on the cross about this. Like, I'm taking a stand because this is censorship.
It was about as tone deaf as you could possibly get.
And that's the part of it that's so frustrating, because he was sitting there, like, acting like he was doing something really great by taking this stand. And the problem with it in general is number one, it's completely tone deaf, because like I said, Brandon and I live in parts of the country where the KKK is still around. And I mean,
where
the KKK,
we know people who lived during the era when you know, the KKK was like a major force, and some of it actually directly affected their lives.
Right.
That shit's in living memory.
Exactly. I mean, we've had the KKK march over in North Carolina. You know, they did that after the president won the election. So, and this isn't to turn it into something political or anything else like that. It's just, it strikes me as how out of touch isn't even the right phrase. It just strikes me as how stupid this person is to take a switch about a joke about a light switch and then turn that into a joke involving a racist organization that has murdered thousands of people. And it's just and to take it a step further, he then basically put himself up on the cross like a martyr and was like, I'm going to have my name removed from this because this is censorship and blah, 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 blah. And it's not censorship. It was your own stupid joke, you ass clown. Like, it would be censorship. Frankly, if we want to get real technical about the definition here, if this is about purity of translation, then he should have left it in and somebody could Wikipedia what the fuck NKK light switches are. So mm-hmm. it was him taking something, making
which
a joke
which is normally the Exceed thing to do.
Exactly. And I don't understand why this would be the thing that this guy decided, like, okay, this is one, you know, this is the place on, this is the hill I'm going to die on. Because it was, and I think probably the only reason he did that is because it was his joke. And he's like,
I don't think it was necessarily his joke. It was actually in the game. Because when they made the joke on NKK switches, they called it the KKK witches.
Right. But
there's a part here where he talks about
the thing that I read, he said he came up with it.
Well, no, he came up with wanting to keep it as the joke instead of, because the developers, this one part where he asked them if the name KKK Witches had any specific meaning in Occupus Beat. And when they were able to figure out, oh, KKK, that's something that means completely different in your country.
If you read his, statement, he brings it up because he said he thought it was hilarious. And then, of course, the developers came back and said, no, this isn't a cool thing.
He thought it was
to do this. He thought it was hilarious, which I think speaks volumes. Because the thing is if this is okay, and I don't want to play this as like too like inside baseball, but I do work for a software company, okay, and there are groups of people in these companies that these kinds of decisions are very binary, right? Like this, okay, so we have to put this here or we don't. And the reason that I bring that up is because in this kind of situation, these kinds of changes, when it comes to software, anything, even when we're talking about interface or anything else like that, with the way something looks or with the way that you actually display the text, even if it comes down to rearranging the words so the meaning is still there that the developer was trying to communicate. And this happens in normal software that's in English, okay? Where you take what the developer was trying to convey and you condense it in some way or you alter it so it's more clear. Like that in and of itself happens with software every single day. This guy doing that specifically is because he wants to sit here and try to take a stand on what he considers censorship. And it's not censorship because it's context. This was them thinking that they could keep in a stupid ass joke that would be offensive to half of the country. Like, and not just that, like the I hate to keep talking about being tone deaf, but like, you know, minorities buy RPGs, you know, and I don't know any minority that would look at this and go, oh, KKK witches, ha, ha, ha. Nobody's going to do that. And the fact that this tool bag wanted to take a stand on that and go, you know, I can't believe they're doing this. And the worst part was, if you read his thing, one of the things that he said is he has no problem being a ninja translator, meaning that he doesn't get credit, but he still wants to keep his job. Okay, look, dickhead, you can't take a stand halfway. Either stand all the way up or don't. Don't sit here and go, yeah, I do want to keep my job, but I don't want my name on any of this stuff. Don't be a pussy. If you were going to sit here and take a stand about this, which was remarkably stupid, then go all the way with it. Don't fucking half-ass it. Expect to still get paid and everything else like that and just not have your name on it because a joke got removed that you liked. That's the epitome of a spineless coward, in my opinion. And it's and frankly, again, it's over a joke that he thinks is funny that a whole bunch of us wouldn't. And that's not like some, oh, I'm triggered because you said something I'm upset with or whatever. For the record, and again, not as a political thing, I was all for Ann Coulter speaking at Berkeley because in America, you either believe in freedom of speech or you don't. I don't think anything Ann Coulter says has anything worthwhile whatsoever to society, but she has a right to say it. This guy doing this, he did it for a very specific reason because he wanted to prove a point, but he didn't want to deal with the consequences of trying to prove the point. And that's the other thing that bothers me about it is that it just strikes me as incredibly cowardice. Or an incredible act of cowardice to say, I'm taking a stand. I don't want my name on any of this stuff, but please still pay me. I'd still like to stay on. If he truly felt that way, then he would have quit. But he did that to get e-points with fucking weeaboos on the internet who are like, yeah, man, that's fucking censorship.
And the weird thing is most of the comments aren't, this is censorship. Just like, this is just localization.
Yeah, this is localization,
saying,
exactly.
We never intended to make a KKK joke. Thanks for letting us know. So we just changed it to ACQ, which
just random letters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a whole stupid thing, a stupid hill to die on. It's just a stupid throwaway joke. It doesn't mean anything.
I think the deciding point came in when the developers themselves said, hey, don't do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's when he was like, no, fuck you. I'm going to do it, but I want my job still. Okay? Just don't credit me.
Yeah.
And he still continues to call it, like, censorship. It's like, it's not really censorship just because you think this thing should stay because the developers have the ultimate approval of the whole thing.
Well, more than that, too, like I said, I mean, these guys have to sell products to people. It doesn't behoove any company whatsoever to possibly alienate someone that could be 40% of their customer base.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, if this is the sort of game that would have even gotten any attention anyway.
Yeah.
Akiba's Beat is not going to be a huge seller out there anyway. It's not going to get much marketing outside of the core XSEED Atlas style audience. So this isn't exactly like a big deal as far as just, oh, this is a huge, fuck up or whatever.
This is just that some guy.
It's just humorous that he has to be having his name taken off of this game. And XSEED, there people said, well, our policy is if you don't want to put your name on one game, you're not getting it on any game from here on out because if you don't take a stand for your work, you don't deserve credit.
And I think that's completely legit.
Yep.
And I guess he's going to stay on, not get credit for any game that he works on.
Yeah.
What a stupid thing to do to yourself in this industry in and of itself.
Now he's the guy that stood up for the KKK joke.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, how's that going to get you hired going forward, you clown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I stood on the hill for the incidental KKK joke that the Japanese developer didn't even know was there.
Anyway. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. And from one horrible person to another. A Toronto-based esports player named Matt Vaughn went on a 30-second racial tirade during an Overwatch match.
He basically just said the N-word over and over again for about 30 seconds.
Then he realized
a few random adjectives thrown in.
I listened to that at work by accident. Whoa, that was a mistake. I didn't do it on my work computer. I was on lunch, but I pulled it up, and it was like, what did he do? And like, I didn't expect the audio to be there. And the fact that he literally says the N-word, like I think like 130 times. And it was just like...
Yeah, and the thing is,
he stops to take breaths and then keeps going.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like, he's streaming to his Twitch account.
Beyond
he forgets that he's public.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you know what? Your opponents don't hear you, which is fucking stupid.
Well, I think that's why he did it. I think he was thinking he could just say that and nobody would hear him. But like, of course, that's what's the phrase? Like, if anybody can be – God, what was it? It was like anybody can be polite when people are watching, and then you're going to see what someone's true character is when they think no one is watching, and that's exactly what happened. And like, I think the thing that was even crazier to me about it is that like I don't – I've never been a person that would say that word in the first place, but there is something immensely more gratifying, and we're just talking about it on that level, of saying fuck. Over and over. Like, I don't, the N-word is not a substitute for that in any way, shape, or form. That was the other thing that I couldn't get. Like, if we looked at it as, like, all words being equal, like, it's not even, and without the connotation, the racial connotation behind it, fuck is still a lot more fun to say. Like, why do that? Like, that's the thing I don't understand. Like, it just kind of points to the whole, and we hear that on Xbox Live too.
I mean,
you hear it everywhere.
His teammates were like just sitting there wondering what the hell was going on.
When you watch the video and you hear like the first 10 seconds just yelling normally about stupid shit, and then here just comes this guy going N-word. You're like, well, okay.
Yeah.
Immediately he got
being sniped on in a competitive game is nothing new at all. Like, what's really the problem here?
He went and explained himself afterwards because, obviously the
there's no explanation for that. Just
the esports organization canned his contract, so there's
he said he fucked up, deserved to be dropped.
Yeah,
but then defended himself by saying he was tired. His internet was lagging. The Widowmaker was cheating,
it.
And he was angry. So
I shot my neighbor because they were loud yesterday, but I was tired and my internet was down. And you have to understand, I didn't eat. And, you know, I just everything was really crazy, guys. So I committed murder. I hope it's cool. I hope it's cool. Is it cool? I was tired. You know what it's like when you're tired? You want to kill everyone, right? I mean, come on, dude. Shut the fuck up and own it. I think that's the theme of the show for me is shut the fuck up and own it.
Mm-hmm. And you know? His Twitch channel got shut down because he violated terms of service streaming with that sort of stuff.
How do you face somebody after that? Like, if you've been like this public person, like, how do you do that afterwards? Like, hey, so, oh yeah, what do you do? I was a pro Overwatch player. Well, how come you stop? Well, because I said the N-word 370 times on Twitch, and I thought it was a good idea at the time. And then, I was like, okay, cool, man. I don't need to talk to you anymore.
We're good. He just basically don't talk. Sank his esports career because I don't think there's any team that's going to touch him anymore.
Unless there's that one pro group out there that's like, you know what, this is exactly what we've been looking for. You know, this guy obviously has the balls sniped. To say what's on his mind.
He announced on his Twitter account, "I am sorry, I fucked up. I am done with esports and won't be returning."
No, I think esports are done with you, buddy. Yeah, I think that's how this should be framed.
Yeah. So,
this is why you need good Mutol tools in your multiplayer.
That's why you just should be a tool.
Mm. Yeah.
Anyways.
Like, I mean, dude, if you're going to be streaming, like, this will be the last thing that I'll say. If you know you're going to be streaming, maybe you should act like people are watching you.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, wild concept, right? I mean, I could be a little crazy here. Maybe, you know, guys, stop me if I'm going off the deep end. But if you're streaming and you have your mic, maybe you should act like people are watching and can hear you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know it's a little out there. I'll calm down because it's a radical idea.
Yeah. You know, maybe act like, I don't know, an adult. Just saying. Anyways, moving on.
And don't pull a DSP either.
At least he didn't get caught masturbating on stream and then saying the N-word. That's what VSP did, or DSP did. But anyway, go ahead.
So, Three Fields, the former Burnout developers, are coming up with a Crash Mode standalone game, which they're calling Danger Zone. And if they do not license the Kenny Loggins song,
right?
It will be a failure.
Oh, man. I think I want this as much as the Hot Wheels expansion.
It's like, I want this now. I like Dangerous Golf. I will do like this.
You can definitely tell where they're taking
it. You can do anything to Danger Zone, and it is better.
And you can tell where they're taking shortcuts for money reasons, because it seems to all take place in like parking garages or tunnel sort of testing areas.
I don't care. As long as low cars
they
up,
seem to have the same sort of
I will be in a parking garage.
Dangerous Golf.
Yeah. I will be in a parking garage going highway to, even if I'm not even on a highway, I'm cool.
Yeah.
Good.
Totally want this game.
This looks amazing. Shit.
It's out next month. $13 bucks on PS4 and PC.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Hit us up with a review code if we can get it, because definitely want to be reviewing this one.
Who's making this game?
Three Fields.
Oh. Yep.
So, cool game coming up. And
The team even called up in Atlanta bus company, see how much a 72-seat bus costs in real life. So they're doing their research on how much this stuff costs.
Let's add up
all the costs.
Yeah.
That's probably what they have to give Kenny Loggins to get the license to that song. One of those buses.
So, anyways. Some more E3 speculation and news. The Bethesda E3 invitation hints at the possibility of two new IPs being announced. Not sure if it's two new IPs or two new games, but yeah, it looks like two IPs.
Yeah, because they show like these sort of sections of a theme park themed after different IPs. So it was like, here's the Prey area, here's Quake, here's Fallout, here's Elder Scrolls and Doom. And there's two sections that are under construction.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of telling. Wonder what they could possibly be. I mean, this is Bethesda. They do have some backlog IP that they can probably go back to.
I bet it'll be janky.
It probably at will.
At least for the first 6 months.
Yep.
Yeah, they're still having their show on June 11th. That's the Sunday. They said gates open at 6:30.
Yeah. Wonder if they'll have Blink 182.
Yeah, I was going to say, who's the opening act?
But, yeah.
We didn't come here for this shitty band. Show us Fallout.
Yeah.
To be fair, Bethesda's shows in the past couple of years have actually been pretty good. So
yeah.
I'm expecting them to put on a pretty decent production this year. So
good way to kick off E3, I'm finding.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we're probably going to get Wolfenstein The New Colossus.
Yeah.
This year, I hope.
No, man, it's going to be a wheel spin.
Maybe they could go all the way back to Wayne Gretzky hockey.
We'll just get wet too.
That'd be a trip.
Wet too. Yeah. I would actually, I wouldn't be mad at that, to be honest.
Just hire Platinum, put him on it.
Yeah.
Let's see what. Yeah, and get Robert Rodriguez. Do some of the cinematic direction on that too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically a Robert Rodriguez video game already.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So
maybe get him to do some of the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Danger Zone.
So we will wait and see on that one. Yeah, it's shaping up like E3 is going to be pretty good this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both all the consoles are in full swing. PS4 Pro is out. Scorpio will be out. I expect a lot of fun stuff this year. Maybe we'll actually, hear about Crackdown 3 and maybe get a release date at some point. Might be nice.
Or a cancellation. I don't know.
Yeah, something.
News.
Maybe Scalebound comes back.
Yeah, oh, God.
Yeah. So in other news, Capcom has pulled the Thailand stage DLC from Street Fighter V because of some religious references.
The theme music for it had the chanting in it originally actually turns out to have actually been like a chant from the Quran, and mm-hmm.
It's a Buddhist stage.
Yeah, it's a Buddhist. It's like, yeah, this doesn't really make sense. So, but of course,
obviously the guy from XSEED told him that was Buddhist chanting.
Just it.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Just
yeah.
Don't look at the comment section. Just don't.
I mean, honestly, that feels just kind of like a simple, stupid mistake to me. I don't know that it was.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think there's anything malicious in here. It was just, we used kind of we didn't use the right.
It's actually sound. This is like the third
public domain.
This is like the third time I've seen this happen in a fighting game too. Like the last time this happened was like in a stage for like Tao Fang Fist of the Lotus.
It was Tokyo Trojan.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something like that in Little Big Planet and Ocarina of Time.
It just keeps happening.
Yeah.
For some weird reason.
There's like, this sounds right, we'll just put it in, don't listen to the whole song.
Yeah, well, that's basically it. It's like, yeah, that sounds like it should be about right. They don't really go into the due diligence and figure out what it actually means.
And then whenever this happens, there's always that one douchebag who has to start talking about conspiracy theories about creeping Sharia and bullshit like that.
Yeah.
Trying to brainwash all our kids.
Yeah. So, blah. But yeah,
let's go to more positive Capcom news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Capcom news.
Good Capcom.
We got a release date for Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. That's coming out September 19th.
Yes.
If you want to, you can, well, SRK has a post there that shows some gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And
it looks great.
They announced three SKUs for it.
Yep.
$200 if you want to spend a ton of money on it.
Dude, I honestly am thinking about doing that one. I think the collector's edition looks fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, you get the 6 Infinity Stones.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Those are fucking sick, man.
And I'm just saying that because I also love. I'm a big Marvel fanboy too. Like I love comics in general. So just some of that stuff is like, oh, that's fucking dope.
My wife
buy the gems, sell the game.
Yeah.
My one complaint is that Kamala Khan is not one of the playable characters. At least not yet.
At least not yet. Yeah.
We only have
Captain Marvel is, but
we only have 12 characters so far. So
yeah,
Yeah. It's not going to stop anywhere near there.
Well, and this full disclosure, too, Peter Rosas is a friend of mine, and I think he's going to make that game fantastic. So
Yeah.
I'm looking at this gameplay footage and thinking, you know, this is a Marvel game that actually kind of makes sense to me, so maybe I can actually play it.
It's a throwback to the old CPS2 Marvel games, and I like everything about that. That was when I was into that series. So, seeing what, to me, feels a lot more like a proper Marvel versus Capcom 2 rather than the 3-on-3, you know, whatever. This feels like a more natural progression and something I can really get into.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 2-on-2, it's a lot easier to learn your matchups and your pairings.
Yeah, you don't need to be on speed to be able to play the game. That's important.
Yeah. that is actually quite important. If you're epileptic, though, the game still might be problematic. Because it is just as flashy as it always has been.
Oh, yeah.
But it looks really good, and it's coming out the 19th of September, which, unless we have other fighting games coming out later in the year, will probably be, you know, the capper to a pretty solid year of fighting games.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got Injustice coming out in June.
Yep.
May.
May?
Yep.
Yep. May, and then June is Tekken.
Yeah, June is Tekken, and then
I know what I need to pre-order.
and also in May we got Guilty Gear XRD Rev 2.
Yes,
a lot of good fighting games coming out this year.
And then there's E3. I mean, who knows what we're going to be hearing about there?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You just never know.
I would expect we're going to be hearing what's next from SNK.
Yeah. Oh, I would hope so. So
I think KOF 14 is in a really good place right now, and it's time to move on to other games.
Yeah. I think that that 2.0 patch and the DLC characters really capped it off quite nicely. So it's in a good state, and it's going to be a very competitive game, I find. So, All right, so I guess with that, we've got a show for this week. All right, so as usual, if you're not subscribed to the show, you can do so on iTunes, TuneIn, Google Play, via your favorite RSS reader, if you still happen to use one of those things. We're all there. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/DayZeroUpdate and facebook.com/SmashPadSocial, or you can check out the website itself at smashpad.com. With that, I am Filippo DiNolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Birkins.
I'm Zanreb Victoria.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm Lee Lamb. Take some responsibility for yourself.